Okay, in part one, we had covered the proofs of who Paul was sent to, who he engaged, who he was speaking to in Acts 13, Acts 14, Acts 17, and here we are starting part two, still in the eighth of 16 points, but we're at Acts 18 now. Verse 4, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. Both of those are Jewish in nature. The synagogue is Jewish. The Sabbath is a Jewish day of worship. And persuaded who? Persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Who did Paul persuade every Sabbath in Corinth? It was the Jews and the Greeks. So on your paper, next to number 18 on the left column, write the words under findings, the second column there, the Jews and the Greeks. Now it's filled in according to the, you know, the, if you downloaded it, I hope you clicked on it to have it at least visible on your screen there. It's all filled in. It's the Jews and the Greeks still in Acts 18. Turn to Acts 19, verse 10. And this we at the beginning, we established that the earlier writings of Paul in the Acts period included 1 Corinthians that was written in Acts 19, or thereabouts. You know, as far as we can tell, that's exactly when it was written. And we compared that with, in two places, with something that was written in one of his probably his second to the last epistle after the end of Acts, in Ephesians. And we saw that a dispensation of the gospel came before the dispensation of the grace of God was even mentioned or brought into Scripture. Welcome, Andy and Lee. We're going through a worksheet that's, I posted it at the website. The website's in the banner up there. Just go to that, click on that, and it's the fourth line down. Click on that, and you can either see it in your screen or print it out to follow along and fill in the blanks. It's pretty well filled in, but it gives you an idea of where we're going, and you can put your notes there. So, in let's see, we did 18, 19, this continued, 19 verse 10, even in Acts 19, this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord. Well, if that's all it said, all those in Asia would have heard, but it doesn't stop there. There's context, there's a qualifier. He says, all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So who were all they that heard the word of the Lord Jesus in Acts 19:10? It was both Jews and Greeks. So on your paper, next to number 19 in the first column, you would write in the second column, both Jews and Greeks. So we're still seeing Paul exercising his sending to the Jews and the Greeks, not yet sent to all people. Look in Acts 19, verse 17. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks. It's getting monotonous, isn't it? But it's proof. You know, it's over and over. That's who he was sent to in this time period. All the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. So to whom was it known in Ephesus? It was known to all the Jews and Greeks. So on your paper next to 19, again, there's A, B, and C, I think, or maybe more, but I'm not looking at that right now. But you would write the words, all the Jews and Greeks, just like the words in Scripture say. Turn to Acts 20. You know, let's go on. Acts 20, verse 21. This is a summary. You know, this is after Paul. You know, you can wait if you want until you see the actual words, but I'll give you a hint ahead of time. This was after, a few verses after, Paul was actually sent to all people. And he's summarizing what he has done, what his ministry has been. He says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God. In other words, change your mind about who God is. Identify him properly. He's the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah risen from the dead. It involves the identity of Jesus, the name of Jesus, believing the gospel of God that Israel refused to believe, and that was their falling point. So he starts with the gospel of God, you know, repentance toward God, and then he goes toward the gospel of Christ, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And when Paul summarizes his sending so far, to whom does he say that he testified? He testified to the Jews and also to the Greeks. So next to number 20, in the top portion of 20 there, before you... there's a divider there a little later, but this is written about the early ministry. It's a summary. It was written after his second sending, but it's about the first part, so I would put it in the first part there, to the Jews and also to the Greeks. And that completes point 8 of 16 points. Let's go to point 9 and look at the verses in Paul's epistles. That was all in Acts, almost all in Acts. Going through Acts, the Acts record, inspired of God. It's the Word of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, the Bible says, in 2 Timothy 3:16. So we're going to go through the epistles now that were... some of the epistles, Paul's epistles were written before Acts 21, written before his sending to all people. And we'll see if they confirm that Paul preached the gospel of Christ to the Jews and the Greeks before the time that he was later sent to, with that same grace of God, to all men in the gospel of the grace of God during the current dispensation of the grace of God. In the Bible, his first epistle to Corinth was most probably written in Acts chapter 19. So turn to the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. Remember, it was written in Acts 19. In verses 22 to 24, let's see who he's talking about there. Is he talking about going to all people? He says, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wind. There's another definition of the Greeks, right? And we're going to get another definition in a few minutes here, a couple verses. But he says, the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Now, that's not the Greeks that sought the wisdom and knowledge of God. That's the Greeks that sought the wisdom and knowledge of the Greek culture. They sought wisdom and knowledge, so they were called Greeks, but they didn't catch on that the true wisdom and knowledge comes from God, as in the scriptures kept in the synagogues at that time. But he says, to them which are called, both Jews and Greeks. Who was being called at that time? Acts 19? Them which are called, both Jews and Greeks. Doesn't mention anybody else, does it, that are called? It doesn't mention alien Gentiles being called. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So who was God calling at that time? Them which are called, both Jews and Greeks. So next to number 19 on one of those, I guess it would be C or D down there, you should have them which are called, both Jews and Greeks. Okay, Romans, the book of Romans was most probably written in Acts 20, verse 3 of 20, and the verse is important, which verse it was written in. Look in Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. That's one qualifier you have to believe. The other qualifier is it's to the Jew first and also to the Greek. At that time still. Still up to the third verse in Acts 20. What qualification was still on the distribution of the gospel in Acts 20 when Paul wrote Romans? You would write down next to number 20, to the Jew first and also to the Greek on the worksheet. In Romans 10, verse 12, we see that the Greeks were in the same program as the Jews. They were separate from the alien Gentiles, but they were considered... Well, look what Paul says there in verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Now, many people misread that, and they'll say, see, there's no difference anymore between the Jew and the Gentile. Well, it's not talking about Jews and Gentiles. It's talking about Jews and Greek Gentiles, that segment that came to God through Israel's program. You know, they were Gentiles, but they came to God through Israel's program. And that was only at that time, back then. So it's not at this time there's no difference between Jews and Greeks. It's not talking about this time. It's talking about that time when Jews in their synagogues had a place for the Greeks. They were... Now, you've probably heard... I'm trying to think who it was. I think it was Steve Gottberg said that the Jews were not the Gentiles were not allowed in the synagogue. But the verse he cited and the verse we know about is talking about the temple, not the individual synagogues all over the world. It's talking about the temple, the one temple in Jerusalem that Greeks were not allowed in, Gentiles were not allowed in. In fact, that's what the ruckus was about in Acts 21 or 2, I think it was, when they claimed that Paul took Trophimus who was a Greek, into the temple. Well, he hadn't, you know, they were guessing that he hadn't been, I don't know, but I'm getting sidetracked here. So anyway, in Acts 20, next to number 20, this is another one we've got in Romans 10:12 that it says that he was sent to the Jew and the Greek. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. That's who he's still ministering to. That's who he's talking about and calling. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. How can they call on him that they haven't heard about? And how can they hear without a preacher? And Paul hadn't yet been sent to all people. So the ones he had been sent to was the Jews and the Greeks up to that point. So let's examine the dividing line there. Go to point 10 out of 16 points. Colossians 3, verse 11, provides an example in the post-Acts epistles, which confirms that Paul's saving message went to all people after Acts 28. We find that out in Colossians 3, 11. However, before Acts 28, Galatians 3, 28, in that verse, Paul omitted part of what he has in Colossians 3:11, the barbarians and the Scythians. And it shows the difference. He was not yet sent to the barbarians and the Scythians when he wrote Galatians, before the end of Acts, before his sending actually to all people, which was earlier than Acts 28. We don't have any record of him going to all people, but we do have record of the people he talked to in Acts 20, the elders from Ephesus. Somehow the word got out and there was a church planted that Paul had to hear about in Ephesians 1:15, and it was different people in Ephesus that were in that church than the people that he already knew that wept on his shoulder when he left. So I don't know if that was a long sentence, I think. I hope I didn't confuse too many. But let's look at those two verses. Start with Colossians 3:11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free. So he's saying that even the barbarians, those alien Gentiles, the Scythians, they're all included in the body of Christ. There's no difference between them there. Christ is all and in all. But in Galatians, Paul was not yet going to all men. He says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Nothing about the alien Gentiles there. Nothing. Before the end of Acts, when Galatians was written, probably in Acts 16 or 17. I don't have the exact figure of when. I don't know that anybody does. But welcome, Bandit. I didn't see you'd come in, but we're going by the a worksheet that I've posted on the fourth line down in that the link in the banner up there. Follow Christ's pattern. The fourth line down has a link to a worksheet that we're working through here to see the difference in the dispensations, trying to make it as clear as possible where that change occurred in the dispensation. Both dispensations that Paul was in, that he ministered in, were in the body of Christ. We're not talking about before the body of Christ or anything like that. We're talking about within the body of Christ, there was a dispensation of the gospel for about a quarter of a century. Then, when that ceased, there was a dispensation of the grace of God. And thanks for the hat, Andy. Okay. Point 11 out of 16. At what point in the book of Acts did Paul first report having received the ministry to testify the gospel of the grace of God? At what point? When is it first mentioned in the book of Acts? I might have missed a... Did I miss a verse there? I don't think so. Okay. So let's look at Acts 20, verse 24. And I see a couple new ones came in. Again, we are going by a worksheet that I posted on the fourth line down in the banner, in the link that's in the banner. Just click on that link and go to the fourth line down, click on it, and you should see on your screen or be able to print out the worksheet and follow along and add your notes to it. So, point 11, when did Paul actually report having received the ministry to testify the gospel of the grace of God? And we see in Acts 20, verse 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish. Finishing something he had started. He says, finishing my course with joy. And then he adds something to it. He says, and additionally, the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's the first time it's mentioned. The gospel of the grace of God is mentioned in the Bible. It was after all of Paul's Acts period epistles had been written. But it was before Paul started writing his post-Acts prison epistles. So on your paper, on that worksheet, among the notes there of Acts 20, number 20 in the left column, in the second column you would write, this would be before Acts 21, before number 21, write the gospel of the grace of God. So we see a difference there, a start of a difference. It's not the Jews and the Greeks anymore. Number 12 out of 16, look at the verse Romans 1:16 again. Yeah, I'll be glad to cover questions afterwards, but I'm trying to get through this material we've got here. It'll probably answer your question anyway. But, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That's how God saves people, in other words. The power of God unto salvation to who? Who is it to? To everyone that believeth, and to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So it's, you know, if you're within those two qualifiers, the gospel of Christ will help you. We're not. We're not a Jew or a Greek. Not a Jew that the gospel was sent to. They have fallen and the gospel was withdrawn. The gospel of the kingdom, or I should say the coming kingdom that was promised, is not at hand anymore. It's way out in the future again because they rejected it. In Acts 7, they fell as a nation. And Paul talks about them as having fallen. And, well, other things too. But, you know, after they fell, when, I'm trying to think of the name, James, in Acts 12, when James was killed, they didn't replace him because Israel had fallen. Before Israel fell, when Judas sinned, they did replace him with Matthias because Israel had not fallen. They were still looking for that kingdom coming. So, but in Acts, in Romans 1:16, what does Paul call the gospel that Christ commissioned him to preach to the Jews and the Greeks? What was the name of that gospel? He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So Romans, written in Acts 20, verse 3, was still to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Let's go to point 13 out of 16. And look again at 1 Corinthians 9, verses 17 and 18. For this, getting old, I need stronger glasses or something. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. And what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. What is the gospel that Paul said he preached during a dispensation of the gospel? What was that gospel? That was the gospel of Christ, he said, that I may make the gospel of Christ without charge. And what was the dispensation under which Paul was still preaching the gospel of Christ to the Jews and to the Greeks? It was a dispensation of the gospel. Verse 17, it says, if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. So that's the dispensation under which he preached the gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Okay, point 14 out of 16. Where is the change from a dispensation of the gospel to the dispensation of the grace of God? Where does that change take place? Well, let's look in Philippians 4, verses 15 and 16. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, that's what we're looking for, in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia. And that's what's relevant to us right here. Let's finish the verse, though. No church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. So, what we see there is in the beginning of the gospel when I departed from Macedonia. So there was a beginning of the gospel at the time when Paul, whenever it was that Paul departed from Macedonia. When did he depart from Macedonia? That'll tell us when the beginning of this gospel was, because we know that the gospel of the kingdom was, you know, years before. That was when before Paul was saved, that was when Jesus was teaching, before he was crucified and ascended back to heaven. The gospel of Christ we just read was what Paul was preaching in Acts 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19. What is the beginning of the gospel? The only one left is the gospel of the grace of God that he mentions in Acts 20, 24. So let's see when Paul left departed from Macedonia. If you look at Acts 16:12, there in the middle there, from thence to Philippi, he's telling his routing, Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. So he tells us that Philippi is the chief city of that part of Macedonia. So does it say... Well, let's go on to the next verse there, Acts 20, verse 6. And we sailed away from Philippi, and we just learned that Philippi is part of Macedonia, so we could supply it in there. And we sailed away from Philippi, Macedonia, after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them in Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. So Acts 20, verse 6 is most probably... only 3 verses after Paul finished the writing of his Acts period epistles, Romans being, you know, most probably being written in Acts 20, verse 3, the last of his Acts period epistles. Acts 20, verse 3, he finished writing his Acts period epistles. Acts 20, verse 6, he departs from Philippi, Macedonia, and for Troas, and that is where in Philippians 4:15, just up above there in your text, we read that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, that would be Philippi, Macedonia. So that's when it happened there in verse 6. It's not, you read verse 6 and you don't see him saying that, you know, the Lord spoke to me in the night and told me that to start preaching to all people, but that's what he said in his temple vision back. That's described in Acts 22, verses 17 to 21. It's described there. It happened in Acts 18, 22. But that's what, you know, he had been waiting for this actual sending. He had received his apostleship in Acts 18, 22. And when he wrote Romans in Acts 20, verse 3, he says that he had received his apostleship in chapter 1, verse 5. But he hadn't received that actual sending until Acts 20, verse 6. And that's when he preached his, you know, when he was sent to preach to all men, and so his writings changed. His writings included instructions for all people without the instructions that were for that specific small group there, the Jews and the Greeks. There were specific instructions for them, in order to accommodate the Jews, to not alarm the Jews, not to chase them off, to make them jealous. I want what they've got. They're not trying to chase them off. They're trying to bridge them together. So, so on your paper there, you know, in the middle of those two broader lines, wider lines, for Acts 20, you would write Acts 20, verse 6 is the reference when Paul's sending, Christ's sending of Paul changed from go to the Greeks and the Jews, Jews and the Greeks with this gospel, to go to all men with the same saving message, but it's different distribution authority to preach to all men. And so that part of the gospel changed. It got a different name. Instead of the gospel of Christ, it's called the gospel of the grace of God, but it's the same saving message. So we're trying to get done with this two parts. We're into the second part, up to part 15 now of 16 parts. And these verses pretty narrowly define the beginning of the preaching of the gospel of the grace of God to all men in the gospel, in the dispensation of the grace of God, to be in Acts 20, verse 6. That's the dividing line. And point 16, we see that Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 show that the message of how to be saved was the same saving message for those who trusted Christ, who first trusted in Christ in the Acts 9 through Acts 20, verse 5 period. It was the same as it was for those after Acts 28 or after Acts 20, verse 6, who who trusted the same Lord. Look at the verses. They had the same faith in the same God, the same provisions, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. That's during the Acts period. In whom ye also, Paul's talking to these people that were saved after he was sent to all men and told them in Acts 20, the elders that came down from Ephesus, that, you know, that was, I think, the second stop after he had received his all men sending. The first stop being Troas, where it was the only time that he ever preached all night long, and Eutychus fell out of the third floor, remember? And he was brought up alive. But I got sidetracked. Let's go through those two verses and see that it's the same faith in the same provision of God, the same gospel. Same saving message, I should say. Ephesians 1, 11 and 12. That we, Acts period believers, should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also, you later ones, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So, you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom you believed. And so, in other words, they believed the same facts about God. It's just that it was sent to different people, a wider group of people, including that first group, but not exclusive to them anymore, to the Jews and the Greeks. And remember that Paul calls the gospel of Christ my gospel before he was sent to all men. In Romans 16:25, he calls it my gospel. In Romans 2, where is it? 2:16, I think it is. He calls it my gospel. But then in 2 Timothy 2:8, he calls the gospel, you know, after the end of Acts, after his sending to all people, he calls that my gospel too. So it's the same gospel. Look at the verses. Romans 16:25, before the end, before the sending to all men, Paul's second sending, now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel, and according to the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but is now made manifest, and according to the scriptures of the prophets, which make you wise unto salvation. Make you wise, make you able to understand when you hear the gospel and believe it. So that's before Paul's all man sending. After Paul's all-man sending would be 2 Timothy 2:8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. So since Paul calls both gospels, the gospel of Christ and the gospel of the grace of God, he calls them both my gospel, singular, then the working content of those gospels are the same saving message. And the messages, you know, the message was the same. The change in the gospel was not a change in the saving message by which Paul and the Acts period Pauline believers and the post-Acts period believers and you were saved. The change in the gospel was that the same saving message starting being to be preached to all men in a huge expansion of the distribution of the gospel of salvation, making it known, spreading it. So what difference does it make? When the gospel began to be preached to all people like us, we need to know that those early writings included things that were not to people like us. They were people in the body of Christ like us, yes, but they weren't in the dispensation of the grace of God like us. They were in the dispensation of the gospel, a dispensation of the gospel. Paul was sent to dispense the gospel to whom Christ sent him to. Who did he send him to? To the Jew first and also to the Greek, Romans 1:16. To those Jew-blessing Gentiles, the devout Greeks and the Jews. And I think we've covered that. So this is Q&A time. Time for questions and clarifications. This is the lot of detail that we talk about sometimes. You don't have to know all this stuff. But, just like finding out that we are to rightly divide the scriptures, and that opens up a whole lot of understanding.